your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like
nice to see you guys. Well, we're going to get started, but before we do, I want to mention a few things. On the back of your bulletin is the 2020, and just a reminder that we'll be meeting here New Year's Eve. If you are interested in stopping by and spending some time with us, maybe play a game or two, watch the ball drop, and then 12:30 we're out of here. So swing by. Play a game with us, hang out a little bit, if you want to ring in your new year with us, or maybe you have other plans, but that's okay too, but keep that in mind. On the front of your bulletin is the Iron Man's Breakfast, and I know some of you have attended that. The next Iron Man's Breakfast is coming up January 18th at 9 a.m., and that's going to be up at John Hughes's church, up at Skyview up in Tip City. So that is for the gentlemen. So if you would like to take part in that, you can make arrangements to visit that. They have a good time from what I understand. I haven't been a part of it yet. But I hear it's a good time and a good time of fellowship for the guys. So keep in mind also that we have our prayer requests and our praise reports on the back. And so please continue to pray for those as well, and praise along with those that are celebrating God working in their lives. So I think that really covers it. So won't you stand with me, and we're going to get started, and we're going to sing with Every Act of Love.
Maybe gloomy outside, but it's not going to be gloomy in here, right? There's a reason we're here. We're here to praise the Lord. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Ready? Go. I said we were ready.
Stoplight, can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches her, kingdom come, oh, with every act of love, Jesus help us carry you, alive in us your light shines through, with every act of love.
sits at the table. He wants to talk, but he's not able. For all the shame that's locked in deep inside. Oh, but her words are the medicine when she says they can begin again. And forgiveness will set him free tonight. As heaven touches us. Kingdom come, oh, 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 oh. Let every act of love, Jesus, help us carry you. Alive in us, your light shines through. With every act of love, we bring the kingdom come. God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you. I said God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you.
Keep singing.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. No regrets, not this time. I'm gonna let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something. Cause just okay is not enough. Let me fight through the nothingness of this life. Cause I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't wanna spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of me?
consuming passion inside of me.
I love this song. I think of times that we've had nothing to give, and sometimes we find ourselves in that position, and God says, I'm not asking for this or that. He's like, I'm asking for you. You are my offering. Amen. So let's just worship.
Amen. presence, Holy Father. I stand in awe of all I see, of all the things you have created. And still you choose to think of me. And who am I that you should suffer your very life to set me free? The only thing that I can give you is the life you gave to me. This is my offering, dear Lord. This is my offering to you, God. And I will give you my life, for it's all I have to give. Cause you gave your life for me. I stand before you at this altar. So many have given. I can offer, yet what I have is truly yours. This is my offering, dear Lord. This is my offering to you, God.
Didn't even realize that. But that's okay. So let's get started. I'm going to give you a head start. We're going to the book of Luke today. Specifically, chapter 2, and you're going to find that in the red pew Bible. You're going to find our scripture on 1592. So if you want to get a head start and head there, that's where we're going to be hanging out today. But Christmas has passed, you know. We spend months gearing up for Christmas. And the anticipation of maybe spending time with family and friends, the food, and probably more importantly, the gifts, and prepping for all of that. And so now that Christmas has passed, now what? Now what? Where do you focus your anticipation or your excitement on next? And so for the Christians, we kind of look at the calendar, and our next big holiday is what? Easter. 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 We focus on Easter. That's probably, for the church, I would say attendance and all of that, the two biggest attendance holidays, if you will, is probably Christmas and Easter. And so we turn our focus to Easter, and so we work on putting the Christmas decorations away, and we kind of focus on Easter and all the excitement that comes with that. And so we get ready for our next holiday, if you will. And so, but something is happening between Christmas and Good Friday. And so that's what we're going to take a look at today. And so what's between the manger and the cross? What's between the manger and the cross? Yes, and we're going to explore that today in Luke chapter 2. And I couldn't tell you when, but I know I've mentioned at some point, and I think it was even, I think we even shared this a little bit in camp. And so we kind of have the same thing. And so the manger, which was the birth of Christ, and then Easter. Now there's a span of time there, obviously, because the cross, and the cross represents Christ and his sacrifice that he was willing to make for you and I. And so we kind of relate ourselves to that in a way, and here's how. We have a born date. We were all born one day. For me, mine was December 20th, 1976. Okay? And I cannot predict my death date, so we're going to leave that one blank for now. But there is a born date, and there is a death date. And then you've got that little dash in between. And that little dash represents your life. And so, what does your life look like from your born date to your death date? And only you can determine what that looks like. And what that looks like. That's completely up to you. And so we get a little glimpse of what was between the manger and the cross in Luke today. And so that's what we're gonna get into. And so what it is this is a glimpse of the childhood of Christ. And so we're going to read over this. I'm going to read it off the screen. You guys can kind of follow along in your Bibles, or you can follow off the screen, whatever you want to do. Marcus, there's two slides to this. Okay, so follow along as we read over this. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. The boy Jesus at the temple, every year Jesus... Wait a minute. Marcus, you didn't switch that for me. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard them was amazed at this, his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with him and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so, Marcus, if you'll back that up one more slide, please. Let's go back to that. And let's dissect this just a little bit. Okay. Notice verse 40. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and grace of God was upon him." Okay. 41, 42. "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast." Okay? And so Luke continues the theme of the importance of the Jewish law here. Okay? And so following his circumcision and the bar mitzvah would be one of the most important events in Jesus' life. One of the most important. And so at approximately age 13, which really seems to be the age of accountability and responsibility, if you will. And so at approximately 13, he was introduced as a mature young man to the community. And so verse 43 goes on to say, "When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem." Okay? At this point, Jesus lingered behind. And Joseph and his mother didn't realize that he had stayed behind. And so this was the 12th time that Jesus had been to this event. Okay? The bar mitzvah and things of that nature. And so he decided to linger behind or stay behind this time. And so it's during this 1 year that Jesus chooses to stay behind. Why is that? Accident, maybe? Maybe he just didn't realize mom and dad left? Not likely. This was a special year for him. And if you remember that he was introduced as a mature young man that year. And so he stayed behind. And his parents were off. And verse 44 goes on to say, "But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey and then sought him among friends and family. But to their dismay, he was not with them." He was not traveling with them. And so they had traveled an entire day, not realizing their son was with them. And so Mary and Joseph would not likely have allowed Jesus these freedoms to wander about, whether it's with friends and family among them or maybe in the city. He clearly got away in the city without them realizing it because he stayed behind. And so they wouldn't have allowed him those freedoms if he was a reckless or irresponsible young kid. And so I believe that he showed some form of maturity. And the word also tells us that he was introduced as a young, mature boy. And so he was introduced as that. And so he had to have some form of reverence and responsibility among his parents and his family. And so when they did not find him, they returned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And 46 goes on to say, "Now, so it is, was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions." And so 47 tells us that all who heard him were astonished. They were astonished at the way that he was dialoguing with them. And so for 3 days, interesting to note that Jesus asked the questions and all were astonished at the dialogue that they were having with this young man. And so 48 goes on to say, so when they saw him, they were amazed. And so his mother and father were amazed and said to him, son, why have you done this to us? I could imagine their frustration. Because in their day, in their time, traveling such a long distance, only to find out that their son is missing. And then the panic sets in. And so I could only imagine what that conversation looked like. Your father and I have been searching for you anxiously. Have you ever been to a store and maybe lost track of your kids? It doesn't take long, typically, to realize that your child has disappeared and you're like, where'd they go? And wasn't it one of the boys we were shopping one time and they like climbed underneath the clothes rack? They were gone.
I'm right here, Mom.
But it only takes a second. And it didn't take an entire day to realize that the boy had climbed underneath the coat rack. But even still, gone for just seconds or even a minute. And you're like, where are you at? You know, your heart's begin beating. You know, in this day and age, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, a lot of strange things happen these days. And so panic sets in. And so that's what's happened to Mom and Dad here. Panic has set in. But then they come back to the temple and they see Jesus sitting there dialoguing with these guys. And they were just amazed. They were amazed at what their son was doing. But maybe you've lost your child, or maybe something of high value. And you're like, oh no. I remember leaving one time and I forgot my phone. And I was like, oh no, I got to go back and get it. To be fair, there's a few days I left it behind, but at times, you know, when something is important to you, what do? You elevate the concern level and you make it a priority. You make it a priority. And so they saw anxiously. And verse 49 goes on to say, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Baby Jesus says, why did you seek me? I mean, he wasn't really a baby, but in our eyes, especially our children, we still view our kids as little boys or little babies that still need tended to, even though they're a full age and they can live their life without us. But they're still our kids. They're still our babies. But he says, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so what do you suppose that means? What is the Father's agenda for Jesus? Now, fortunately, we have the Bible, and so we know we can answer that easily now. But that's not something that was open to everybody. They didn't have the Bible like we do today then. And so we can say easily, well, you know, he went to the cross and died to save the world so that we could join him in heaven. And so what is the Father's agenda here? My Father's business can mean a lot of things theologically. Okay? Becoming Word made flesh. The salvation of the world by his death on the cross. The salvation of the world making disciples and building the church, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy as the expected Messiah. It could really mean a lot. And all of these are certainly true, but perhaps more than the 12-year-old boy intended, my Father's business. I am about my Father's business. And it wasn't the 12-year-old Christ would be out there healing and performing miracles. He wasn't rebuking Pharisees and calling of the disciples, feeding the 5,000. Those are all the big things yet to come. Those are all the big things yet to come. But maybe, just maybe, what he was doing here is he was seeking. He was seeking. And so there's three things real quick I want to share with you. And that is the first one. The boy, Jesus, seeking. The king was seeking. Verse 43, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. The key to seeking is being intentional. Would you not agree? Because if you're seeking something, you intentionally go and find it. And so you take an intentional effort. And we can turn the TV on and watch the gold diggers, the ones that go out to Alaska, Gold Rush, you know. We watch the ones where they go out in Alaska and they have the boat and they dive down into cold water and suck the bottom of the ocean up into these pipes just searching for little specks of gold. But these guys are intentional. They're making an intentional effort to go out, seek something, and find it. Because they, like me, wouldn't be able to find it sitting on the couch watching it on TV. Amen? And so they are taking an intentional effort to put together whatever gear they need and get out there and find it. They intentionally go looking for something. James 19, he displays this while in the city. James 1:19, encourage us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Quick to listen and slow to speak. We can learn a lot about someone by just sitting and listening. But sometimes we want to put the cart in front of the horse and start yapping. But you can learn a lot if you take some time, slow down, and listen. Jesus listened. And he asked questions and he dialogued with them. And so often we aren't so eager to sit down at the feet of others and listen and learn and dialogue. But you can learn a lot by doing just that. And so what do you suppose he's seeking? God's word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so we can take some practical steps to seeking. Reduce the useless noise level, TV, radio, internet. Position yourself in places and situations where God can speak to you. silence, sermon, maybe pull up a podcast, YouTube, whatever you need. Now, I realize that sounds a bit contradictory because I just said reduce the noise level, TV, radio, all of that things. But if you can pull from something like that and just listen and connect with God, whatever works for you. Spiritual books, and ultimately just opening up the Word of God, getting in the Bible, and praying, and asking God for a desire to want more. And so, two, Jesus obeying. Verse 51, he said, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." His obedience to his earthly mother and father. Obedience to his mother and father. And so he was willing to obey. And sometimes God will ask us to do something that we aren't at all interested in being a part of. But like Jesus was willing to be obedient to his earthly mother and father, I mean, we can look at our lives in growing up and what our obedience to our earthly mother and fathers looked like. If it was anything like mine, I'm sure it wasn't total obedience. I spread my wings and flew a little. I'm sure we all have. But obedience and being subject to the obedience of God and being open to what he's calling you to do. Philippians 2:8, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death." I don't believe Christ was interested in going to the cross, but he knew he had to, and that's what his purpose was, so that you and I could experience eternity. I don't think Christ wanted to go through the pain and anguish that he had to suffer on the cross that day. But he was willing. And the same is true for us. God may be calling us to something. Maybe we want to do it, maybe we don't. But at the end of the day, our obedience to God and our willingness to submit to him. Faithfulness. And so obedience for Jesus is not about losing power, control, or forced submission. That's not what it's about. It's about entrusting our welfare and needs to someone else. And that's what we are doing when we submit ourselves to God. We're just handing over the keys to the car and saying, "Let's go, God. Where are we headed?" And so we're entrusting our lives into the hands of God. And so maybe we need to reevaluate and redefine our obedience. Because sometimes we can get wrapped up in our day-to-day living. Our jobs, our families, you name it. Sometimes we can get wrapped up in that. And we would rather put them first instead of God. And so maybe here, maybe a few practical ways in being obedient. During the in-between, are you obedient in the small things? So you can kind of roll through the Rolodex of maybe what you consider the small things. Are you obedient in them? Maybe prayer. Tithing. Just sharing the love of Christ like you should. Like we're all called to. Being a utensil used by God. And so let the Bible be the final authority in your life. And obey God's revelation in your life. If it doesn't align with God's word, challenge it. Being subject to someone, maybe accountable to someone, maybe mom, dad, spouse, accountability partner, a group. Being open and held accountable really can go take you places. Because if you're being held accountable for the way that you're living, you try harder. I mean, think about it. Why do typically, not always, don't get me wrong here, but often, why does a thief steal in the night? Under the cover of darkness, because they don't want to be seen. Amen? And so sometimes we hold those things in the cover of darkness. And nobody knows about them, so they can't be held accountable. And so making yourself available, being accountable to somebody, will bring growth and change in your life. Develop a confessional prayer life. The more He can correct, rebuke, and teach you. And so get in the habit of immediate repentance and reconciliation with God. Immediate. We know when we do something wrong. We know. And so if we get in the habit of making acknowledgement of that to God, saying, God, I messed up. Forgive me. Holding yourself accountable to God. Immediate repentance and reconciliation with God. And so the third thing, Jesus, the boy, growing. Growing. 52, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. If the Son of the Father, the Creator of the world, is willing to come empty and humbly, we should look to the Father, saying, teach me, lead me, show me the way. It will make a difference in our lives when we humbly submit ourselves to God. Intentionally seeking more of God. The more you seek and obey, the more you will see growth in your life. It just goes and goes. And goes. And so I'll wrap up with this. So after Christmas, what? What do we do in the in-between? We are to be about our Father's business. And again, that'll look like, it'll look different for each and every one of us. But at the end of the day, it's the same. Because we are to intentionally seek God and He will come inside and change us from the inside out. He will. And so we are to be about our Father's business. This is the life of a disciple. Maybe you see yourself as a disciple. I don't know. But you are. We're all disciples of Christ. And it's our job to raise up more disciples, seeking the fullness of the kingdom of God in your life. That should be our goal. Seeking the fullness of God's kingdom. Obeying God's word. I mean, He didn't give us the Ten Commandments for nothing. Now, we're all going to fall short. Every one of us. There was only one perfect one. So God's word tells us that we'll all fall short of the glory of God. It's going to happen. But if we find ourselves getting into a relationship with God in immediate repentance and reconciliation with God, that's where it's at. Sin separates us from God. And so immediate reconciliation with God. Even at the sacrifice of yourself. Because sometimes, myself included, we would much rather do what we want to do. Say, I don't really feel like doing that today. This sounds and looks like so much more fun. And so sometimes we have to put off ourselves. And we should. And so even when it's uncomfortable, because everything that we face isn't going to be a bed of roses. We're going to have some difficult and uncomfortable situations in our life. But we aren't facing those times alone. We can draw strength from God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have a source of strength to draw from. And so growing in holiness of heart and life, just growing, taking God in, flourishing in the truth of God's word. And so maybe a fresh challenge for the new year coming. Maybe a challenge for the new year coming. To make God your priority. His calling on your life a priority. Maybe loving somebody more. Maybe tithing more. Giving in a way you don't give. A new way of giving. I don't know. But a new challenge for the new year. Being intentional and making your relationship with God number one. Trust me, the family, the job, everything will fall into place behind God. It will. God number one, everything else to fall in behind. Because I truly believe if you are giving God your all, your everything, He will bless everything to come. He will. So think about that as we head into the new year. Where is God calling you? What can you change in your personal life, your spiritual life? What can you change to bring you in to a deeper relationship with God? So that's my challenge. Take an evaluation on yourself and asking God where He would like to see a change in you, and be open to his leading on that. Because I promise, He will bless you. He will bless you. So stand with me. We're going to close out with Good, Good Father. Boundless, your love's unending.
Our God.